I really love working with the children and youth. It's a good fit for me because I like to teach. I like to play games. I like the running, jumping hugs the kids give me and the crazy stories the youth give me. And I love how every youth event and every children's class is usually full of laughter. But this past week, celebrating the baptisms of these youth reminded me, I think, of what I enjoy most about working with this age. Because I get to teach them at a young age, I get to see that moment when Jesus becomes real to them. I get to see that transformation when Jesus goes from being just a character in a story to being Lord and Savior. And I think that is one of the most wonderful things about working with the children and youth. Because when Jesus becomes real to us, he changes our lives. We can't help but be changed by that. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. This is the last week in our intersection series. This series has focused on stories in Scripture where God's love and God's holiness intersected with his people. And those people's lives were changed because of their intersection with the Lord. And so this morning, we're going to talk about what happens kind of after those intersections when Jesus is real. And, you know, not everybody is changed through one intersection with God. Sometimes it takes God, a few intersections before his love and power get through to us. But when the Lord does get through, when Jesus becomes real to us as Lord and Savior, what does that look like? What does the reality of Christ as Lord mean in our lives? Because when something is real to us, it influences our thoughts and behaviors. Every day we're influenced by things that are real to us. For example, our body's need for sleep. We've all experienced what happens when we don't get enough sleep and our brains get dumb, right? It's real to us. After our first child was born, I was in that new mom zombie, state. I was so tired, I put the dirty laundry in the refrigerator. It was a couple of months ago. I was prepping for Children's Sunday, hadn't had enough sleep, and I realized I needed more rest when I was sitting at a stop sign, waiting for the stop sign to turn green. I was like, wow, I seriously need some rest. So we have those experiences where it's real to us. Our bodies need sleep in order to function. And when something is real to us, our lives are influenced by it. We stop at red lights because the danger of getting into an accident or getting a ticket are real. I know lots of people who have changed their diets because the threat of a heart attack or diabetes or blood pressure is real. The reality of that danger changed their habits. And as a parent, I put my kids in swim lessons because the reality of danger in the water, that's real. Every day our lives are influenced by what's real to us. So, if Jesus is real to us as Lord and Savior, what does that mean for our lives? If Jesus is real to us as Messiah, as Son of God, how does that influence us? How is the reality of Christ evident in the way that we live? And our story today, I love the story because we're going to see the influence of Jesus on three fishermen the moment that Jesus becomes real to them. So go ahead and open up your Bibles to the book of Luke. We're going to be in chapter 5, and this is at the very beginning of Jesus' ministry. We're going to read verses 1 through 11. So Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. One day, as Jesus was preaching on the shore of Galilee, great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word of God. He noticed two empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them there and were washing their nets. Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, its owner, to push it out into the water. So he sat in the boat and taught the crowds from there. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Now go out where it is deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish." "Master," Simon replied, "we worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I'll let the nets down again." And this time, their nets were so full of fish, they began to tear. A shout for help brought their partners in the other boat, and soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. When Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, "Oh, Lord, please leave me. I'm too much of a sinner to be around you." For he was awestruck by the number of fish they had caught. as were the others with him. His partners, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were also amazed. Jesus replied to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people." As soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. What I love about this story is that you can see the moment, like the very moment that Jesus becomes real to Simon Peter and James and John. This was at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, and he was already gathering big crowds when he would teach. And so the crowds were pressing in on him, and he asked Peter to take him out in the boat so he could teach from there. And that means that Peter and James and John, they were there while Jesus was teaching. They heard what he had to say. But it wasn't until the miraculous catch that Jesus became real to them as the Son of God. It wasn't until then that it really sunk in who this man was. And you can see the dramatic difference in their behavior before and after the miracle. Before the miracle, I think they had respect for Jesus. Peter was willing to take Jesus out in his boat even though he'd been working all night. They all stayed to listen to Jesus teach. Peter reluctantly followed Jesus' suggestion to go out deeper to try fishing again, although in true Peter fashion, he had to point out to Jesus that he'd already been working all night and hadn't caught squat, but he did agree reluctantly. So before the miraculous catch, I see it as Peter and James and John had respect for Jesus as a teacher and maybe a prophet, but from what we read here in Scripture, before the miracle with the fish, they didn't yet have that faith in Christ that would cause them to leave everything and risk everything in order to follow him. They would lend him a boat. They would listen to him teach. They would humor him by putting down their nets one more time. But at this point, Jesus is not real to them. They're playing it safe. Last month, our family got to spend a week in Hawaii. We got to spend a week on the big island of Kona. We did all kinds of cool stuff. We hiked the volcanoes. We saw the waterfalls and the rainforest. But the coolest thing ever, if you've been to Hawaii, is the snorkeling. It's like swimming in a big aquarium. It's amazing the different fish that they have there. So we went snorkeling with one of these tour groups. We were on a boat. And before we got in the water, the guide was showing us pictures of the different fish we might see. Then he flips to the page with the eels. And we're all, what? I don't want to see any of those. And the guide was trying to assure us that it's okay. They stay down low. You don't mess with them. They're not going to mess with you. There's nothing to worry about. So we get in the water, and we're swimming around and seeing all kinds of amazing fish. And then we see the eel. And I'm not talking about just an eel head sticking out of a hole. This thing was like 5 feet long. It was a moray eel. And my head is telling me, remember what the guide said. He said it's not going to hurt you. He said if you leave it alone, it will come after you. And my heart is saying, forget that. You need to get as far away. So I'm trying to snorkel backwards, which was a lot of fun. it wasn't that I thought the guide would lie to me. I didn't believe in him enough to put myself at any kind of risk. And this is what I see in the behavior of Peter, James, and John before Jesus became real to them. Because when you look at their behavior before the miraculous catch of fish, there's no risk in it. They didn't have to risk anything. It was safe. They respected Jesus. They listened to him teach. They follow his suggestion to go give fishing one more try. It wasn't until the reality of who Jesus was hit them and became real to them that they were willing to risk big, leave everything, and follow him. So let's look again at their reaction. I just love this. When Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, "Oh Lord, please leave me. I'm too much of a sinner to be around you." For he was awestruck by the number of fish they had caught, as were the others with him. His partners, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were also amazed. Jesus replied to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people." And as soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. I love this part of the story because you can see when the reality of Jesus' holiness hits Peter. Now Jesus is real. Jesus is Lord and Savior. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is Messiah. And you can see the drastic change in their behavior from just passively listening to Peter falling on his knees and begging Jesus to leave him because he realizes all of a sudden, I'm not worthy to be in this man's presence. And then when they land, they leave everything to follow Jesus. They leave their livelihoods. They leave the futures that they had planned for themselves. They leave everything and are willing to risk anything in order to follow Christ. And I just think that's a beautiful illustration of the impact that God's power and love can have and really should have on our lives when Jesus is real to us. Which leads us to the main question of the morning. Is Jesus real to us? Is Jesus real to us as Lord and Savior of our lives? Or do we have a healthy respect for him? There's a difference there. And what would our lives say is the answer to that? It's so easy and so tempting to fall into a rut where we just believe and behave. We accept Christ as Lord and Savior, and we stay safe in a Christian bubble, trying to do the right things and stay away from bad things. We come to worship, read the Bible, we have fellowship with other believers, we're grateful for our salvation. There is nothing wrong with any of that. It's just that it's an incomplete picture of what we're called to be and how we're called to follow Christ. We have been created for so much more than to just believe and behave. When you think about the intersection stories that you've covered in this series, the stories that Pastor Rich has preached on, you see this very clearly. Gideon, the story of Gideon leading God's army of a few hundred against an army of 1,000. Or Joshua leading the Israelites into the promised land, even though Jericho with its huge walls were in the way. Or Moses called to rescue God's people from Egypt, even though he himself was an outcast and now was going to have to confront the powerful Pharaoh. Or the disciples receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost, boldly preaching Jesus to the masses, even though they themselves had been holed up in hiding, afraid for their lives. In each of the stories, the people impacted by the Lord were called to take big risks and step out in huge steps of faith. Not one of them is called on to believe and behave. In Scripture, we never see Jesus intersect with someone and then call on them to lead a life of safety and comfort. We just don't see that. Over and over again, we see people called to take big risks, to take a big leap of faith, because that's how we make the big impacts. There's always a call to step out in faith and be willing to do whatever we can so that as many people as possible can know Christ as Lord. When we were snorkeling in Hawaii, not only did we get to see lots of fish, but we got to see dolphins, which was the coolest thing ever. And this is actually a picture my husband took while we were snorkeling of the dolphins. The highlight of the trip for me was when we were snorkeling in the water and an entire pod of dolphins swam around us. We could hear the squeaks, so we knew they were close by, and all of a sudden there's like 60, and they were all around us. It was the coolest thing ever, like I said. But even when we were in the boat, they would come up and check us out. They would stick their little heads up. You know, they were curious. And these are spinner dolphins. They're smaller than bottlenose. And they're called spinner dolphins because they like to jump up in the air and spin, which you got to see them do a few times. So I was asking our guide, are they doing that on purpose to show off for us? And so he said, well, actually, it's interesting. A few years ago, the government did a 5-year study on spinner dolphins to find out why they spin. And they had a few theories. One theory was they show off for mates. One theory was they play. There was a theory that because they have these parasites that like to attach to them, maybe they're trying to get them off. Maybe they're trying to scare away predators. 5 years later, millions of dollars in research, they discovered spinner dolphins spin because they can. Yeah. It's the way God made them. It's what they do. And we were made for so much more than a life of just believing and behaving. We were created to make a difference in this world. We were created to have an impact for Christ. We were created to love God and follow God and bring as many people as we can to find out more about him so they can have a relationship with the Lord. Our calling in life is to bring the kingdom of heaven to earth here by sharing God's love with as many people as possible. And the only way we're going to have a God-sized impact is if we're willing to take those God-sized risks and those steps of faith. The only way we're going to be willing to take those risks is if Jesus is real to us. Not the healthy respect real, but the real, where this is my Lord and my Savior and the Son of God and my reason for being. You think again about the example of the disciples. When Jesus became real to them, it meant they were willing to leave everything, risk everything. They were willing to follow him without knowing where their next meal came from or where they would sleep at night. They were willing to follow him even though it meant being harassed and persecuted. They were willing to follow him even though it meant they would be imprisoned and most would end up being executed because they refused to stop talking about Christ. So what does it mean for us? If Jesus is real to us as Lord and Savior, what does that mean for us to follow him? What are the risks that we're being asked to make? What are those big steps of faith that God is calling us to take as we follow him? A few weeks ago, you may have heard about the FBI carrying out a huge child trafficking sting. It was called Operation Cross Country because it was a nationwide sting. It included 76 cities, and the FBI was specifically targeting pimps who trafficked children. And as a result of the sting, they rescued 105 teenagers, most of whom were between the ages of 13 and 17, although the youngest victim was 9. They arrested 150 pimps. And although this is the biggest sting, since 2003, they've rescued 2,700 children. And when I was reading all this, I had two very conflicting emotions. On the one hand, I'm thrilled. I'm thrilled that children are rescued from, you know, child prostitution. I'm thrilled that the government is taking this seriously and that people are opening their eyes to the fact that this is happening here in the U.S. But on the other side, I was very sad because this is happening. There's a lot of darkness in our world. There's a lot of places of darkness and need. There are so many places where darkness just seems to have free reign. And the thing with darkness is it doesn't go away on its own. Somebody has to bring the light in order to fight the darkness. And as followers of Christ, if we just stay safe in our bubble, our Christian bubble where we believe and behave, we're not going to be shining Christ's light anywhere. And there are people who are suffering in darkness who need us, you and me, to be willing to take that big risk and to take that step of faith and shine Christ's light where it's needed the most. So if Jesus is real to us, what does it mean for us to follow him? Where is that place of darkness that Christ is calling you to come and make a difference? What is that step of faith that God is calling you to make? You know, as I was thinking about this, I was thinking, if Jesus is real to us, if we really are willing to risk everything and do anything in order to follow him, imagine what God could do through us. I mean, the darkness wouldn't stand a chance. It started with just like 120 followers of Jesus in that first little church after Jesus went back up to heaven. And look how they changed the world because Jesus was real to them and they were willing to take that risk. Imagine what God can do through us. We're going to have a time of quiet prayer and reflection. And I just encourage you to spend some time with the Lord. Open yourself up to asking God, what is the step of faith you're asking me to take? Where is that area of darkness you're calling me to shine your light? Please join me in prayer. Holy God, I just thank you so much for your light. I can't imagine a life without you. And it makes my heart just swell with joy to see so many today professing their faith for you, and knowing that they have your joy in their hearts and in their lives. But there are so many, God, who are living in darkness and need And they need us to break out of our bubble and share your light with them. So God, we pray for courage. Courage to step out in faith. Courage to follow you and to risk everything and be willing to do anything to do your work. So we pray that you would lead us, that you would guide us, that you would encourage us. And we just thank you, Lord, for the awesome honor and opportunity to be your disciples and to do your work here. We love you and we give you praise. Amen.